So hello and welcome to another teleconference powered by the number one billing and consulting company on the planet. Of course, this is Ali Alberigo, and I'm the owner and founder of Long Island Ninjutsu Centers. We're a ninjutsu school in Long Island with four locations and one location in Bermuda. We have about 1,100 students. I've had as high as 1,300 or 1,400. Right now we've gone through a little bit of a slow spell, so we're down a few. But I am also the owner and founder of TakingItToTheNextLevel.com, which I'm sure most of you, if you've heard me before, you've heard me speak about it. It's one of the premier consulting companies for the martial art industry. And today's teleseminar is titled Incredible Growth by Maximization. It's really actually considered Experience Incredible Growth by Maximizing Your Good Qualities, but I think it's more of a idea and concept of maximization. And there are so many things that I could speak about on this topic, and it would take hours to cover. So first and foremost, I want to explain the theory of what I consider maximization, and the simple definition that I've got from the dictionary's point of view of maximizing is to increase to the greatest possible amount of degree, to look for ways of maximizing profit, as an example. Number two would be to represent at the highest possible estimate, to magnify. For example, he maximizes his importance in the program, minimizing the contributions of other participants. Or number three, to make the greatest or fullest use of. Again, that one, to make the greatest or fullest use of, to maximize your time by planning ahead. Number three and number one are probably the closest examples of what I wanted to go over. And with that being said, for some, it's still unclear many times, you know, to my consulting clients and school owners that I speak to the theory of maximization. First, I want to point out that some common misconceptions of business owners. Of course, the quest is to grow your business, to make maximum profit, and also run the business so that it builds in size, momentum, and supports the growth over the future. With a goal such as this, there's focus usually in a few departments. Number one, school owners or business owners always look for more clients, or in our case, students. Two, we increase sales. We're looking to maximize our sales. Three, in martial arts, we're looking for better attention. For example, a school owner has 100 students and they want to increase their enrollment because if they do so, then their income will increase. This is normally true depending on whether you need to ramp up the amount of staff you have to support the students, but most of the time, more students equals more money. So with the idea of more students mean more money, normally a school owner will then ask themselves, well, how do I get more students? The immediate answer is to advertise more. Now, there are some consultants that subscribe to this philosophy, and I do as well to a point, but there are some missing components in this way of thinking. The concept is what I call forward thinking. So the concept of this, I need more students, I need to just get more people through the door so I maximize my advertising, is what I call forward thinking. Of course, it's imperative to continue marketing and bring new life into your student base and also continue the growth in your school, but there are points that are usually missed. For example, many business owners do not look at what's going on at the present. If you're getting 20 calls per month and only two people are showing up, then there's a flaw in the thinking. The correct step would be not be to ramp up your advertisement and get more people to call. So figure if you get 20 calls coming through the door, if you do more advertisement, I mean 20 calls, you'll get, you know, if you do more advertisement, you'll get 40 calls. That's not the theory. The things to look at are, is your location hard to find? Are you too quick to schedule the appointment on the phone, not preparing them or answering their questions? Are you advertising in a media or ways that create calls, but once they call, they don't follow up? You'll find that specific papers do have trends such as these, but the theory is not ramping up your marketing to get more calls. It's figuring out simply why, once you get the calls, they're not showing up. A lot of times we don't look at this statistic. We actually ignore this on a more regular basis. So our goal is to research what's going on. What is it that's creating the phone calls and then tracking the clients once you set up the appointment from the call to the visit? For example, we get 25 calls or 20 calls, two people show up. Now we start tracking what we've done. We look at the clues to what's going on, and we find out that maybe all 20 of those people called from such and such a paper, maybe called the penny saver, where everyone's looking for a deal. Once they've called right away, you've told them what your prices are over the telephone, and then they automatically decide without seeing what you do that it's too expensive. So they may not show up. So, again, the goal is to research what's going on and why that if your advertising is making the phone ring, then you're doing well in the advertising department. Then you have to track the clients once you set the appointment up from the call to the visit. The next thought is if they're attending and they're not signing up, you got to find out what is the percentage of people that are attending the class and not signing up and tweak that area. If they are signing up, that's another item you want to track. And let's say they're quitting after a month, then this is another area. So, for example, if you receive 20 calls and only 10 show up, out of the 10, only 5 show up, what do you do? Some may say increase the amount of calls that come into the school and increase the amount of people that get to the trial class so that the more people you have, the better chance it is to show up that small percentage of people, to sign up that small percentage of people. The real goal is not to do it in that way. It's to research it so that you become better and you maximize the client calls to the appointment ratio and then maximize the trial class ratio on the show-ups to the sale ratio. If you can do this only by 10%, then you've increased numbers that are much better than, doing more legwork, more manpower, spending more money on advertising, putting in more time and effort. The maximization theory works everywhere in your school. So the idea is to take what you're doing and fix it. Let's recap. If you're getting the calls but not signing the people up or they're not showing up, then the things you need to look at is the phone call. You need to look at the follow-up. You need to look at the trial class sign-up. And if you maximize your ability and increase those areas, increase the areas of sales, sign-up ability, without any other advertisement, your school is going to grow. Maximization is everything. We've spoken about this in the past about referrals. Even though I've spoken about this to death, I've hammered it home on my website, spoken to my personal clients about it, it's still an area that's untapped. Imagine that you have 100 students, and everyone quarterly, 4 times a year, referred only one person. That would mean that you would have 400 leads. And I know this is easier said than done. You've all tried referrals. It sounds great on paper. I make it sound easy. But think about it. Even if you got 50%, quarterly, you'd get 200 leads. The thought is if you improved your ability on asking for referrals, read every book you could on referrals, went to every website, listened to every audio tape you could, you're bound to get better at this. And if you do, you'll never have to advertise again, correct? So why is it that we don't take this time and put the attention into what we should? Simply put, we're forward thinkers, always looking at the road ahead, but not thinking about the road we just traveled. Here's an analogy or an example. If you were to walk 1,000 miles, would you prefer to wear sandals or sneakers? The answer would probably be it all depends, but the safer bet is always going to be the sneakers. Now, on the other hand, what if you were talking about walking on jagged rocks and dangerous terrain? Then the answer would be work boots or hiking boots. The answer in this only lies on what you've traveled and have been through, not what you think may lie ahead. Because you may go out and buy those work boots and then find out that you have soft sand and it would have been better to be wearing those sneakers. But the goal is to look and see what we're doing and start to work on those areas rather than always forward thinking. I need more marketing. What's the next marketing idea? When I was at the Martial Arts Super Show, people came to me on a regular basis and they asked me to give them marketing ideas. Now, honestly, as school owners, we have so many marketing ideas available to us that we probably would never have to market again if we use just a few of those to capacity. The problem is that once we start using things, sometimes they don't work as well as we anticipate, and we chicken out. There's a chickening out period of time in marketing. Interestingly enough, is that's what happens. Most people start a campaign, and it's not really a campaign, but they run 2 or 3 ads, and then they bail out, and then they don't continue on. So it's important for you to realize this and understand that without this, forward-thinking mentality, it's about looking at what goes on within your school. In my schools, we started to think this way a bit more and more. Our goal at Long Island Ninjutsu Centers is to find the right clients, the people who really think our program is the top priority. For example, we're also driving home the education, that education is the key mentality, getting parents to understand what we do more so than if they do that, they can support us rather than abandon us when they or their child want to leave the martial arts school behind. We believe the better we educate, the more inclined the parents are to be to keep their child in the program. If they'll be more inclined to motivate their children at home to be involved in extracurricular events and get involved themselves, even if it's just on the coaching end. But remember, what we do is very hard to grasp, and it's not easy or as easy for a parent to be involved in the martial arts as it is for them to be a part of their child's life in baseball, soccer, or whatever. So, again, our focus in my schools is to maximize our communication skills so that each client is tied so much more into what we do, so that when we ask them to do a special event, we get more responses. When we ask them to do a movie night or to be involved in the, you know, promotions or go to a competition, they're more involved because they're educated enough to understand how important it is. Now, back to our referral program. Here's some food for thought. Why not do a continual marketing campaign to motivate your students and parents about your referrals? Why not be more interactive so that they could commit to your program? Why not make it worth their while? There's so much more information on referrals that I can give to you. I could also do this and spend another hour on referrals alone, but I recommend going back in the Member Solutions archives where you can see my weekly articles and also our conference calls that I've written and listen to previous teleseminars on the topic to get a better picture. But the point that I'm driving home is, if you have a referral program and it's not working, do you abandon it and maybe go over and say, okay, I'll do a different marketing campaign or maybe take a look and try to tweak and adjust? I've found in the last 2 years plus of consulting with Member Solutions clients and also clients who've taken it to the next level that many martial artists are too busy to be successful. Now, I'm not saying this in a negative way or not saying this is a negative thing, but what I am saying is that everyone is caught up in the day-to-day activities, and sometimes or most of the time, and you can all attest to this, it's paralyzing. So months and months go by, and you seem to be caught up in the same trap. And this is why with many of my next level clients, they come to me and say, what do I do about this or that? And then I ask them, did you read month one? And they say no. I've been a member for 12 months, but I haven't even looked at it yet. Or I really didn't dive in. I've just been skimming the surface. The road to success is paved in good intentions, as you've heard. And I want to give you another few points. When we're looking at the things that we do, we need to look at them from an outside perspective. For example, last night I watched one of my favorite TV shows. It's Criss Angel, Mind Freak. I have a special affection for this show due to the fact that Criss's niece is my student, and I know him for years. We kind of grew up in the same community. I'm not saying we're buddies, but so don't ask for an autograph, picture, or anything, but I believe him to be an amazing illusionist and magician. Anyway, the show last night kept leading into him saying that I'm going to give you the secret to success, wealth, fame, and fortune at the end of the show. At each commercial end where we were leading into commercial, he would say, don't forget, we're going to talk about this. He claimed that at the end of the show, he would tell us what it took to make him a multimillionaire and the most successful magician in the world. Well, the show was finally at an end. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the secret to success. And then he said, the secret to success is there is no secret. It's all about hard work. Now, from what I know about him and his brother, they're always working and working harder than anyone I've ever seen. So that, to them, is part of what they do. I have to say that this is something that I do as well, and I want to be a success, and I'm still working hard at it. So one day I hope to be able to have looked back and accomplished some things that my family can be proud of. And right now I work hard day in and day out towards my goals. The secret is not dreaming about it. It's about working towards the dream. In other words, you don't want to sit and daydream and say, I wish I could, I wish I could, I wish I would. You're basically going to take whatever that dream may be, and it could be the largest dream. It could be so extravagant, but you need to work daily towards that dream. Now, moving on, think about it. If you have 10 functions, just 10 functions within your martial arts school that you perform on a day-to-day basis regularly, what I ask you to do is to look at and judge yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, on how you're performing at all those functions. So, for example, if you're only doing it half the time, give yourself a 2. If you're doing it semi-regularly, give yourself a 4 or 5. If you're working it and working it well, give yourself a 9 or a 10. But if you have 10 functions in your school, think about them at not about what you're performing right now, but look at them from a little analytical point of view and say, how can I improve on those functions? For example, If you invested all your money in a CD, if you took $20,000 and invested in a CD, at present time, maybe you can get about 5% on your money. Would this be a good spot to put your money? Yes, if you want to just have it in a safe investment. It's solid. You don't have to worry about it going anywhere. But the question is, could you make more money if you put it into another investment, maybe possibly make 10 or 12%? If the answer is yes, you may want to take that money and make it work for you. You'd be getting more if you put it in a better 10% investment. You'd nearly double your money in the same amount of time. Again, the goal is to maximize your time and effort and your money or your profits. So I'm going to say this. If you have 10 students that you do – I'm sorry, 10 systems that you do on a daily basis – I recommend going through each and every one of those systems and looking at them analytically. For example, do you do 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls? If right away people raise their hand, like when I'm at a seminar and I ask how many people do 2, 4, 6 week calls, if there's 100 people in the room, 5 or 10 may raise their hand. Then I say, well, what do you do on 2, 4, 6 week calls? And some may say, well, I call the clients up. I make sure that they're happy. I looked at this system, this very system of 2, 4, 6 week calls, and I looked at it from the point of view where I was at a seminar, and Rob Colasante, who I believe is to be a genius in the martial art business, he had asked, who's doing 2-4-6-week calls? I raised my hand because I kind of was doing a 2-4-6-week call. I put my hand down. He went on to explain a bunch of things and why it was so important. Then I went back to doing what I did. At some point, something clicked in my head, and it told me, or I thought of, what am I doing during the 2-4-6-week calls? What can I be doing better? What is the actual goal of this 2-4-6-8-10-week call that I do? Can I improve on my calls by possibly taking time to speak to and educate the parents about what we do, about possibly maybe even selling gear on the telephone, selling and pre-framing people for upcoming events such as summer camps, special seminars, movie nights, and so on? Could I talk to the people on the telephone about upgrading them? Do I need to do that in person? Could I sell the movie nights on the telephone? Do I need to do that in person? And finally, could I ask for referrals? As you know, if you ask, you may be surprised by the outcome. The goal is to look at each and every one of your systems and your programs and ask yourself the question, what would be the outcome if you improved on the function? Would I get more students? Would I make more money? Would I retain more people? If I maximize the potential of my staff, would I have more people sign up each month? Would I have more people in my Black Belt Club or any of the upgraded programs that you may call them? What could be the ultimate potential? And now these are things that you have right in your hands right now without a new software system, a new program, a new thing, a new idea, a new marketing campaign. You know, you have to think about this. If I got better simply by 10 or 15 or 20% at selling, how much could I increase my income in my school? If I'm grossing $20,000 a year, could I easily be doing $100,000 by the end of the year? I'll give you a secret. The thought of maximization is so exciting to me. For some, it sounds like a very antiquated philosophy. I'm sure there are a few people that have clicked off this phone call already. I know the question I pose is, you know, what is maximization? And then people might say, well, you know what, I need more students, so I need to market. I'm not getting any people through the door. But the question is not really are you getting people through the door, is the people that do, the one or two or three that come through the door, do they quit? Because what we don't want to be is on this kind of, walking escalator kind of mentality where it brings us down and it keeps on rolling. So we're bringing people in, and our whole ultimate goal is to kind of keep bringing people in the door, hopefully that we're bringing more in than that are quitting. Because in our school, we have a continual turnover rate. There's some things that we can't do anything about. Some people move. Some people lose their job. A good portion of the people that we have lose interest. And again, martial arts is not easy because we have so many things that work against us. You know, the belt systems, the traditions, the hard work, the contact, the ancient Eastern philosophies, the physicality of what we do. It's much easier to run a personal training institute where people come in, they pay a fee, you walk them through the circuit of the weights. Hopefully if they live true to what they're doing and they diet and exercise, the results are there. The martial arts is kind of this three-step forward, two-step back kind of program where everybody has to experience the forward and backward momentum in order to become a complete martial artist. Because obviously we teach with the Eastern or, you know, martial philosophy that, you know, in order to be a success, there has to be failure. Most people in the Western mentality don't want that. So for school owners, what I'm saying is the thought is, what could we do to increase our immediate bottom line And that answer is, right now, look at what you're doing. If you could, by 20%, increase the amount of phone calls that you get by fixing your marketing just a little bit, not marketing more, but tweaking the tagline, the headline, the special, what your offer is, and maybe you'll get maybe 10% more calls. If you could take that 10% more calls on top of what you're already getting, let's say we're getting 20% off the calls now. Now, taking those 20% and converting more to the trial class, getting 20 more or 20% more to show up, now you might have gone from 5 show-ups to, let's say, 10 or 15. Then maybe out of the 15 or 20, and of course, understand, I'm just throwing numbers out. I don't even have them written down, so don't take my numbers and add them up and say he's totally insane. But basically what I want to say is that if we could tweak those numbers, and we used to sign up 5 out of 10 and sign up 8 out of 10, and now we do that every single month, we're getting 3 more a month, that's 36 more people a year that we would have done without doing anything different as far as financial output into the marketing, doing more legwork on the flyers, you know, doing direct mail, doing TV ads and so on. It would be nice that we could just run an ad and get some sort of, you know, high-end marketing campaign that they do with, like, these big Fortune 500 companies and just start getting more people through the door than we could ever handle. But the problem with that is that sometimes we're not set up to handle those people, and they're going to come in the front door and out the back. If we maximized the quality of our retention by adding in certain retention tools like attendance tracking cards, an attendance a reward system like I do with trophies in my schools and on taking it to the next level. A lot of our clients adapted this and they're using it with unbelievable results. To do a little bit more of a follow-up and follow-through by sending out We Miss You postcards, doing a We Miss You phone call, by sending out motivational cards just to tell people that they've done a great job. Little Johnny, hey, great John, you did a great front kick. I'm really proud of you. Sign Sensei, and you send it out. Birthday cards, sending out birthday cards. There's a million different ideas on how you can maximize by tweaking and changing what you do and making it even just 5% better. Overall, 10% better throughout the year could be 30, 40, 50 new students. You know, what would it take to do what you're doing right now and get those 40 students through the door, but then lose them because you're not doing something right in the other area? See, this is where when I talk about maximization, it sounds simple, but really this concept is harder than throwing an ad in the paper or trying to keep pouring more people into what I call the sales funnel, only to see that most of the leads are bogus. Here's another example. We contracted in with a minor league baseball team in my area to have booth space during the games, during game time, where we solicit the attendees of the game. We then have a big banner that says we raffle off 5 free-month memberships valued at $500 at each game, and we have people fill out a little, you know, raffle ticket with their name information and so on it. And then at the end or the middle, actually around the sixth inning, they call the winners. A good majority of them will be would have left the game already, so we may have to call them later on. But we have we gather names. We've done about 20 games or so already and have accumulated about 1,200 leads. The overall goal is to get as many of those people to attend a free program in our school. So the 5 people who win get their 3-month memberships, and if we give it to them right at the game, or we call them up later, the overall goal is to get all those people who didn't win, and we give them a 3-month membership. Hopefully getting them to fall in love by coming in to see our school, hearing what we have to do, or if they're not interested at all, giving it to a friend. We realize that many of the leads are bogus, and that we know that some people just did it because we asked them to. They don't want to be confrontational, so they do it, but they have no intention. There are a lot of fake numbers, funny names like Jim Shorts and, you know, stuff like that. And we basically have to sort through them later. But the interesting thing is, initially when we started doing this, we'd give people calls, and we would leave tons and tons of messages. And then we found that we started sending a letter with a schedule of when we had classes in all 4 of our locations, and we found that we've increased our leads. And the interesting thing is that as we get better, we're getting less and less bogus leads. So from what I used to call bogus, this guy is a bogus lead, that guy was a bogus lead, I'm finding that we're able to transfer those bogus leads to becoming legitimate leads. So it's really not the lead being bogus, but it's how our follow-up and follow-through was. There are many different options about people that may have called and said, we're not interested, my son decided not to do it. Well, Mrs. Jones, I'd love to see if I could give you a free month that you could give away to anybody. Do you know? Do you think there'd be someone else in your family, a cousin, a relative, a neighborhood kid, someone on the block, someone at your job that may be interested in this free month membership. If so, it's worth $99. I'd love to send it out to you so that you could look like a good guy, give away something that's positive for our community, and, you know, turn that bogus lead into a positive lead, making sure that you're taking every bit and maximizing the potentiality of whatever that phone number or that email or that inquiry is and trying to benefit. It's very easy to just get the answer and say, I'm not interested, and say, okay, sorry to bother you, take me off your mailing list, okay, I'll do that. Or saying, is it okay if in the future I send you our tips on summer safety? Or can I send you an email on our newsletter? Or can I continually follow up with you maybe in the future because you may find that this is something that you may want to do? I think that a lot of times we give up too quickly, falling into that category of the chickening out period that we talk about. Okay, so without further ado, I want to continue a little bit more. And saying that, at first we only took the leads that we thought were interested. When they said, okay, I'll take it, I'd like to do the trial class. But we left hundreds of messages, and now with the letter, we're scheduling a lot more people. We sent out this congratulations letter with a copy of the schedule. The first mailer went out, and we've already received more inquiries, they're calling us, than we got when we were leaving messages on phones. I think a lot of people are deletion creatures, and I spoke about this, I think, on one of my last teleseminars, that when we have so many things in our head, we don't need any more. We just hit delete rather than trying to really say, take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out, and clearly think about the potential. If I listened to what's going on, what could be the ultimate upside potential and benefit to me? For example, on my Taking It to the Next Level program, the people that end up quitting the program, I believe, are the ones that don't take enough time to actually dig into the program and understand it and read it. And I'll tell you why. Because one good idea could be worth millions of dollars over the course of a period of time. So why would anyone at $69 a month or $25 a month ever cancel something when they're every single month this potential for something that could be the next biggest multi-million dollar idea or campaign? The moral of the story is you never know until you try. But you truly never know until you try it many different ways. Many mega corporations are continually rediscovering themselves daily, and just because it ain't broke philosophy, don't fix it philosophy, isn't true. Because if you don't try things new, you don't necessarily abandon the old things. You need to tweak them a bit at a time to see and test to find out what could work. You may find that the potential is endless and it's not being used, and you may find that if you're not doing this, you'll never discover the true answers to what's going on. For example, people will say to me all the time when I consult, they'll say, well, I did try the referral program, but it's just not working. Well, I ask, do you market it? Do you send out advertisements? Do you have special drives? Do you talk about it in class? Most of the time, the answer I get is not really as much as I should. So the question is, what can you do on every one of your programs to maximize the quality and the results? What could you do on your advertising to reach more people? I have one client now that I'm working with, which is a personal training gym that has nothing to do with martial arts. And basically, what my job is as their consultant is to look at what goes on. They have a corporate headquarters, and the corporate headquarters recommended for them to do X amount of dollars per month in advertising through the startup of their company. I then sat with all the people, the owners of the franchise and the owners of the people who bought it, the franchisee and the franchisor, and I sat with them, and they said, okay, here's the budget. Here's all the different papers you can advertise in. Here's the amount of money each ad costs. And at the end of the column, it said budgeting, marketing budget, $5,800. Initially, we had a budget of around $3,300 or $3,500. I then made phone calls over the last 2 days, yesterday and today, and I've gotten every single ad that the franchisor had recommended to be cut in half as far as price, just by negotiation with the salespeople, talking to them about future commitment, explaining to them that what we're looking to do, and we're going to need for them to work with us in order for them to establish a relationship. The bottom line is, I was able to save this company at least 50% on their marketing. So I took the budget that would have been $5,500 and I got it down to actually I got it down to about $2,100 for the same advertising. But the cool thing is I was able to add on two more weeks to the advertising. They're getting a six-week campaign for one half the price, or a little bit less than half the price, than they would have gotten if they just would have said, okay, I trust in this person's information, I'm going to run with it. So what I like to do is always, I want to micromanage to a certain extent. I want to look at all the things that I could do. I want to maximize my profits. I also want to maximize my sales and, you know, everything that I'm doing. I want to make sure that I'm doing it at the best of my ability. For example, one big thing would be is if you want to run your martial arts school and you want to make a profit, and let's say you want to make $3,000 more a month, and I always ask my clients and I say, you know, what would be the ultimate goal? How much money would it be per month that you would like to make? And let's just say, for example, someone says $25,000. I'll say to them, how can we reach that goal? And they'll say, well, I need X amount more students. And I say, well, that's great. Let's stay on that because we want X amount more students. But can we increase our revenue from our retail? Can we increase our revenue from our special events? Can we upgrade our prices? Very often I look at martial arts schools' prices and I say, do you realize that if you raised your price just $5 or $10, depending on how many students you have, that can mean anywhere from $1,000 on up. For example, I just went to the Pat Cooligan's Ottawa and Chris's Ottawa, Hensel Gracie Ottawa Academy of Martial Arts, and we looked at their client list. They have about 400 clients, and I said, Pat, if we raised our prices just $10 a month, how much would that be to you? And he says, that's huge. It would pay our rent, which is a check that every single month begrudgingly that you have to write for $5,000. It would be a lot easier if you were making $5,000 more and you just allocated that money towards the rent. That would be $5,000 more profit in your pocket, or $4,000 more profit every single month times 12. So if you took your school and just sat back and looked at what you did and said, if I increase my retail sales and my special event sales just by X amount of dollars per month, it'll bring me in $1,000 more profit per month. How much will that add out? That's $12,000 more a year. And I say, how much happier, or what better place would you be in? What car could you drive? What investments could you do? How much money could you save in your child's college fund? What could you do with that extra $12,000? If I gave you $12,000, I'm sure you could think of a ton of different things. And sometimes, or not sometimes, and all the time, it's a matter of looking at what the model is that you have from the beginning, and this is what we do in taking it to the next level all the time, and increasing it just by a small percentage, just by maximizing what you do, just by taking your initial systems, the existing ideas, the existing ratios that you're doing, and just tweaking them and increasing on them. Anyway, I've been talking for 40 minutes nonstop. So, Kathy, I'm going to ask you to open up the lines and see if there's anybody that has a question on what we've done so far or any comments on that. And I'll just take a quick drink while I wait. So, Kathy, could we open that up and see if anyone has anything to say?
Sure. The line should be open now.
Okay. Now, is anyone going to be daring enough to ask me a question, comment on it, or even just say, hey, this is a great teleconference, I'm enjoying what you have to say, let me know that I'm not just talking to myself out there. Who's out there? Is anyone just want to introduce themselves so we know who's on the phone and what martial arts style and if they've thought about this at all? Anyone?
Ali, I know we want to give them a chance, but I actually have a question for you.
And, Kathy, I want to say thank you for stepping up because you know there was going to be dead silence for a period of time.
No problem. Actually, you know, this is a question that I hear a lot. And I think the question is, you know, Ali, like, I think some people are going to listen to this teleconference, you know, when they
right.
download it online, or if they're listening to it now and they may be thinking, you know, there's so many different areas I'm not currently maximizing. Where in the world should I start? So what's your advice to them on, like, how to figure out where to start?
Well, you know what I had said in the beginning of this? I was saying if we just take a look, and here's a great – this is a great drill or homework assignment that I do for my elite consulting clients. And this is going to answer your question, but it's also a good way to find it out on your own. What I recommend for everyone out there is to take at the week start, whether you start on, you know, Sunday or Monday or whatever, Tuesday, start keeping a diary from the minute – you go to work on this Monday, let's say. And from I literally mean writing in a journal. Diary is kind of like a girlish kind of sound. So journal it and say, you know, I woke up at 7 a.m. It took me a half an hour to get ready. I ate breakfast, I read the paper, I did my emails, and then write down every single second that you spent on those activities. But not only just are we trying to find out how much time we're spending, but we're also journaling what we do throughout the day. So now we went to the school, and literally I want you to write down, I turned the key in the lock, and so on, because not only is it going to show you what you're doing, it's also going to act as a way to train your staff. Let's say, God forbid, you got ill and sick, or you just say, yeah, that the diary, the journal, tells you everything that I do. I'll be out for 3 days because you really got a bad flu. Could you please just follow this, and you'll be able to do everything. But then diary it all along the way, and then you'll find at the week's end or next week when you go back over it that you could do a few different things. One, you could analyze it and say, what am I wasting time on? It seems I'm spending 5 hours a week on email, just answering email. Maybe I could condense that down to two and only do it on a Thursday. I'm cleaning up the dojo, the school, wiping the mats, filling the bathrooms with all the supplies. Maybe I could delegate that to a client, to one of my team leaders or to my assistant instructor. Now, I had one of my elite consulting clients that him and his wife are trying to delegate to each other. I said, why don't you do this, and after the end of the week, highlight in yellow what she prefers to do, and then have her take those activities away from you, highlight in green what you could give to your assistant instructors, and then take on the rest of them and make them a part of your daily activities. So the answer to your question, and I'm not being long-winded, is that what you need to do is journal first what you're doing. And then prioritize what you're doing. Because very often we're doing stuff and not getting anything done. Very often we're doing things that are not important. So once we journal everything, we can say, what is an A1 priority? What are the tasks that bring me forward momentum to grow my school, to get me more students, and then prioritize those tasks as A priorities. And if for some reason that they're not doing anything, then they have to give a one-on-one call with you and I, and to say, well, we need to institute 2-4-6-week calls. We need to institute a referral program. We need to institute attendance tracking. We need to institute referral systems, which is going to referral programs. But we need to institute retention systems like the letters, the cards, the calls, the trophies, and so on. And then now we could start working on improving on them, because very often we're in this blender, and that was the name of my seminar in Las Vegas, where we just every day, once we turn the key on the lock, we jump into the spinning blender. At the end of the day, we jump off, and then we go home. And finally, by the time we get home, we lay our heads in the pillow and go to sleep, only to repeat the same process of insanity day after day, not really actually stepping any more forward to our goals. So the answer to your question is we need to journal and do this activity, and we need to see what we're doing first, and then go back and look at it and prioritize. And then the third activity would be to see if those activities are really beneficial to our school, and that's where they may want to call up or, be in a program like Next Level or talk to you and I and any of the consultants at MSI and say, what am I doing wrong here? And that's important, and a lot of people don't do that. They get caught up in this hamster wheel, and they just keep on running until they step off, and that doesn't get you any closer to your dream. Did that answer the question?
That did. That definitely answered the question. I think that's very helpful. The journaling, the prioritizing is a huge thing, I think. And, making sure what they're doing is a priority in the first place, beneficial. And then, just choose one and get it straight and then move on to the next one. So,
and that's so true. What you said is just so important. But you'll find, and I'm sure you do when you consult, that just choosing one could be the most difficult thing. So like you said, everyone asks and says, well, which one is better? If you don't know the answer to that, then who cares? Just choose one. Write them all on a circle on a piece of paper and color coordinate and throw a dart at them. It doesn't have to be specific. And once the dart hits, work on that thing. And then work on that and actually look at it. And like I said, if I'm able to increase my sales by making myself a better salesperson, my end result is going to be that much better. If I'm able to train my staff to be better on the telephone while receiving a phone call, then the results on the bottom line are going to trickle down and they're going to be better. For example, the things that we don't look at, and I hate to say this and I hope no one gets insulted, so I want to pre-frame ahead of time, is that sometimes people are not meant to be in business, in this kind of business. This martial art business is a very charisma, character-driven business. And there are some people that I talk to that they don't have the personality to be out in front. They don't have that dynamic personality. They're very monotone. They're very, you know, I don't know. They just don't have that excitement. And I have one instructor in my school that's like that. He talks very fast. He always looks down at the ground. He just doesn't have it. And parents, they're not excited. The kids are not excited. And I'm trying to train him, but I know as I go through this process of training him, people are being affected by this lack of. And I need to. I know as a school owner that I need someone better in that position, someone who has that charisma, someone who is dynamic, and I have to find that person. So the school owners, just because you own the school doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, be it all. It doesn't mean that if you're not good at sales and you just absolutely hate them, I would suggest reading and learning about them, but at the same time, finding someone who is better. And then a lot of people will say, well, what if I can't afford it? I'm in a catch-22. I don't have money to add on employees, but I don't have, you know, any new students coming in. Well, if you took the leap of faith and you got the right person and they were out there doing all the right things, I bet you, just by momentum, you know, through osmosis, those people are going to come through the door. And if that person is able to sell them, then you're going to be able to make up their salary or make it commission-based and say, for every person you sign up, you get to take the initial deposit and you get to keep that for yourself. Now it's your job to go out there and dig for gold and find these people. Or I'll give you these five ideas and you go out and do them. So we need to find people that have the ability. Very often martial arts schools, when we hire people, we're actually like orphanages for unemployed people. We're looking for a salesperson, and we notice that John is out of a job because he got fired. So we say, hey, John, how about you become my front desk guy? Meanwhile, we're not thinking like, why was John fired? Why is Mr. and Mrs. whoever unemployed? Why is this person not, you know, getting a job so easily? Well, maybe it's because he's not the right person. So we need to hire the right people for the job and make sure that they do the right thing. And of course, it's follow up and follow through at that point. I'm kind of almost into a whole other topic with employee management and so on. But again, that question is so true. And what you said is that one thing. Take that one thing, throw the dart on it, find out what it is, put it on a piece of paper, all the different systems that you do, fold them up into small things, put them in a jar and have one student pick it. I'm being facetious in a way, but at the same time, I think that sometimes it's a matter of just choosing, and that's where we end up with analysis paralysis where we don't do anything. And again, that's the biggest issue with school owners is that we're too busy to be successful. Like, for example, I once did a seminar with Tony Robbins. One of the most profound things that I've ever heard him say, or his salesperson say, actually, I'm sure it trickled down from the top, was the seminar was the Unlimited Power Weekend where we walk on hot coals, and I always wanted to do that, and it was just amazing. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday event. We got there Friday night. We would wake up at like 8 in the morning. We wouldn't eat all day. We'd have a little bit of a fruit, a quick break, and so on. But anyway, when I was finding out about this seminar, the price that they gave me for the elite package was like $3,600 or whatever it was. And again, I'm just guessing it may have been a little bit less, a little bit more, but it was definitely around $3,000 that I was paying. And I kind of like said, wow, that, you know, that's a lot of money. Let me think about it. And then the guy said to me, he says, what is there to think about? And I said, well, I have to think about the money end of it. I have to kind of budget it. He says, you know, if you think about it, you're going to think yourself out of it. You're not thinking yourself into it, because the reason why you want to think about it is because you want to think yourself out of it, because if not, you'd commit right now. And I said, well, I'm not sure if I can afford it. And he says, I don't think you're sure that you can't afford it. I think that you have to afford it. You have to be sure that you've got to afford it. Put it on a credit card. Do whatever you got to do, because this seminar will change your life. It will make you that much money back. And this is the way I've always learned and to be as far as mentality goes, because every single thing to me is a lesson. If I went to a seminar in Vegas, I'd hear people coming out going, that was a waste of my time. And just listening to anybody who's had any bit of success, even if it's one or two words that they say that click, could change your life forever. Virtually, like I do with taking it to the next level, some people will say, okay, well, it's a basic program in the first 12 months where I'm already doing most of that stuff. And then I'll ask my clients, well, did you do this and this and this? He goes, well, yeah, kind of. And, oh, well, I'll give you a perfect exact example. I have a new client that said to me that he's very diligent about getting everything done. And he said to me, I did this, 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 and this. And he skipped one component. I said, what about the 2-4-6-week calls? He says, well, I already do them. I said, well, are you doing this? He said, no. I said, are you doing that? He said, no. And then I went through the list of all the things that I do on my 2-4-6-week calls. He said, wow, I guess I'm really not doing the 246 recalls. And I said, did you read the section on 246 recalls? He says, no, why should I read it? Because I'm already doing it. Why waste my time on that area? So that's why I find that a lot of people are too busy to be successful, because you could have that one single little component that'll change the whole entire school. It could change your income. It could change everything. If it tweaks your retention by 5 or 10%, your entire school has been changed. If it tweaks your sign-up rate by 5 or 10%, your entire school has been changed. Your marketing has been changed. Everything has been changed. Yet, we're creatures of this industry, of martial art industry, where we're used to being thrown information. I had a client who recently canceled the program because on month 6 of taking it to the next level, we basically have an open month with no information. It says, email me and we'll set up 2 phone calls to review all the previous information. The person was very upset because he didn't get information. And I asked him at that time, well, did you use the previous 4 months? And he says, no, but I want my information every month. He felt if he paid $69, he should be getting $69 worth of material, not thinking that he's going to get $250 worth of times 2 of me doing phone consults with him. And anyway, it's all about thinking with the big picture in mind, but thinking small and building up. So everybody, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for being on this line. And if you're tuning in at a later date by doing it on the archives and the downloads as well, I'm always honored to be able to talk and have people listen. And I appreciate the fact that I've had this life where I've made my mistakes and I'm able to do what I do so that I could share it with others. And I want you all to know that if you feel uncomfortable on an open line, you could always email me. And my email is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, like Long Island, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. Or I'll give you my cell phone number. I have no worries in the world about people calling me, so call me anytime. If I'm busy, I'll tell you that I can talk, and we'll set up a time to call back. My cell number is 631-374-6518. And most people are going to go, I won't bother, I'm on a cell phone. But you could call me, and we could talk. If not, it's 5 minutes or 2 minutes. We'll set up another time. Or, of course, the best way to get a one-on-one conversation with myself, Kathy, or any of the incredible consultants is to call the office at Member Solutions and say you want to be on a conference call with us, and we spend 20 to 25 minutes with you going over anything that you want to do one-on-one. You could have your staff on the phone. You could have it on a speakerphone, whatever. But our goal at Member Solutions is to help you grow. It's to help you overcome whatever obstacles you have, and that's what we do. So thanks so much, Kathy, for allowing me to be here again today. And thank you, everybody, for listening, and I'm honored. So you have a great day, and be productive and maximize. Take care.